Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you. Well, isn't it great to be in church tonight? You know, I think that we have just experienced some of the best congregation singing that you'll ever hear. Amen. It really makes a difference when people sing out and know what they're singing about. And then that last song there, Brother TJ, that was fantastic. Wasn't that a blessing? You know, I might can't go in with the prophets, and I might can't go in with the martyrs, but that last bunch, I can go in with them. That saved by grace crowd, amen. So good to be here. I love Brother Tim and Hallie, great friends of ours. We've rode motorcycles to the Midwest. Brother Tim, I'm going to tell you while I'm thinking about it. When we were out in the Midwest, we were preaching, but we went out there on motorcycles, and there was a little boy. I don't know if Brother Tim remembers. I said, Brother Tim, there's a little boy out here I'd like to go see who got caught up in a separation in a marriage, and he was way out in the Midwest, and his daddy back here in North Carolina. You remember that, brother? His name, Nathan. And Brother Tim, you know, had a great talk with Nathan, and I hadn't heard a lot about Nathan through the years, but he came to North Carolina the other day. And guess what, Brother Tim? He is a deacon in a church and serving God. And it's just amazing how the Lord can take a bad situation, turn it around. And Brother Tim, you had a great, great instrumental part in Nathan being what he's a young adult man now, of course. But it's amazing what the Lord's done for him and done for others. I want you to turn your Bible tonight. I got three passages. I think we could handle three simple passages. Psalm 85, and then James chapter 5, and John chapter 3. And while you're turning, so good to have my great friend here tonight, Brother Chris Fleming. He is a member of my prayer team. He and I pray together often. Matter of fact, we prayed together last night, and God did a miracle last night, shortly after we hanged up the phone. You see, I like to run with people who can move the hand of God, don't you? And we thank God for the access we have in prayer. But I want to share this with you. And again, I'm so thankful to be here. I had a cancellation this week. Dear pastor has cancer really, really bad. And he said, Preacher, I just can't go on with the meeting. It was in the hospital. And his name is Ralph Owen. If you could just kind of remember him. Dear, sweet man of God, but suffering with cancer really bad. Psalm 85, and if you'll try to kind of hold these places, Psalm 85, a very familiar verse, a lot of us could quote in verse number 6. The Bible says, Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I want to read that again. Now, there's a little word, a very familiar word in this verse that'll also be in our other two texts. And I want to see if you can find what that word is. Let's look at it again. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Then if you'll hold your place, James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. And I'll read verse number 17 and verse number 18. And the Bible says, I'll give you a chance to get there. Verse 17, James chapter 5. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18. And he prayed again. He prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, a very familiar verse in John 3 and in verse number 3, and we'll also read verse number 7. John 3:3 and also verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Father, We're so thankful. My heart has been blessed to hear this great singing tonight. Lord, it's so good to be in a church that's alive and you can sense the presence of God. And thank you for all the things you've been doing here in this great place and all these faithful years that Brother Tim and Hallie have served here, almost a quarter century. Lord, bless them and bless these people. Father, we need your help tonight as we look at this simple word I want to share with the people. And God, help us this evening. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, amen and amen. I made just a little extra emphasis when I got to that word I'm looking for, and I believe most of you spotted that word. It's the word again. You know, that word again is a very common word in the Bible. It's a word that God must really like because it's in the Word of God over 2,000 times. That word again. The word again is simple. It just simply means another time. It means a second chance. It means anew. It means afresh. It means to restore, to repair. It means another opportunity. You know, I believe I'm looking at a bunch of people tonight, including myself, that knows what it's like to experience the second chance. Aren't you glad that God is a God of the second chance? He's the God of restoration. He's the God of freshness and newness. And I'm so thankful that He is. Now, although there's 2,000 mentions of the word again, I'm not going to deal with all that, so you can breathe easy, okay? But I would like to give you three places in the Bible that's on my heart. There's many more. But I'd like to give you three places using that word again. And my subject tonight is this: the God of again. The God of again. We'll begin Psalm 85:6 in our first text. The Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And I believe Brother Tim would agree, that's a verse that can stand all by itself. You don't even need context. You don't need any history. You could just take that verse and preach all you want to. But there's something about this verse I want the Lord to help us to see it come to a different light. When the Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again," it stands to reason God's people have been revived, but God's people do need to be revived again. Sometimes I'm looking at the mirror, Brother Chris, at a guy that I know has experienced revival. But thank God there's been times I've needed to be revived again. What about you? But if you look at Psalm 85, do you see it up there at the top where the heading is? It says Psalm 85. Look right under the heading. It says, "To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah." So verse number 6, this great verse that we know well, is a verse that was written for the sons of Korah. Now Korah, the story of Korah, there's never been a story like this before, and there's never been a story like this after. When you get home, Numbers chapter 16 will tell you all about Korah. But there came a day when Korah, who was a man of great stature and renown among the congregation of Israel, he rose up against Moses and against God. He said, "Moses, you're taking too much upon you. The whole congregation is holy, and you're taking too much authority." Korah gathered up 250 men. I'm talking about men of renown, men of great caliber in the congregation, and they all rose up against the authority of Moses. Can you see them standing there in pomp and in their pride? But as soon as Korah said these words to Moses, you learn the difference in a Moses and a Korah. Because Korah was standing in pride, and then Moses fell on his face. I like what Moses did, don't you? The Bible does say he was the meekest man. Well, Moses got on his face before God. He called on the Lord. He got up and he addressed the congregation, and here's what he said. He said, if these men die a normal, common death, just like other men die, then you can say, the Lord didn't send me. But if the Lord does a new thing and opens this earth's mouth and swallows them up, then you'll know that the Lord hath sent me. Moses gave a challenge. What side are you going to get on? Are you going to get over here with Korah and his rebels? Or are you going to get on the side of the Lord, the side that I represent? Well, can you see the people dividing? Can you imagine that? People joining up with Korah. People joining up on Moses' side, which was the side of the Lord. And they're all standing there. And then all of a sudden, there's some movement over here on Korah's side. Korah's got some boys. They're standing there, Brother Chris, with their daddy and all that appertained to them. And they're looking at Moses, knowing this ain't right. This is not right. So what those boys did, they did a difficult thing. They walked away from daddy, and they joined the side of God and of Moses. And as soon as these boys got on the side of the Lord, the Bible said the earth opened her mouth, swallowed up Korah and all that appertained to him, and the Bible said they went down into the pit of hell alive. Can you imagine? That's never happened before then. It's never happened after that. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friends. When those boys got over here and they felt the earth moving and they saw that earth open its mouth and they heard the screams of their daddy and their mama and all that appertained to him going down into hell alive, can you imagine what that did to those boys? I'm going to tell you what it did to them. They made the right choice. Can someone say amen? But sometimes the right choice is a hard thing. Sometimes making the right choice, you'll get your breath knocked out. You know, we all know that the person who's hit and miss at church and the person who half-heartedly reads their Bible, the person who really doesn't have a prayer life, the person who's leaning heavily toward the world, we know those kind of people need revival. Say amen. But sometimes God's people need reviving that have done nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, they need reviving because they did something right. What a sight and sound that was for these boys to experience. And God said for these boys, there is a God in heaven. You may have got your breath knocked out, boys, but I can revive you again. I'm so glad that God is the God who can revive again. You know, nobody will hurt you like your family. Am I right about that? Some of you have had to make hard choices because your family doing wrong. You've got your breath knocked out. You were discouraged. It hurt your heart and it hurt your feeling. But aren't you glad that God revived you again? Anytime you make a tough choice that knocks your breath out, don't think about giving up. Don't rethink your choice. Your choice was right. Serving God's always right. Putting God first is always right. Getting on the side of the Lord is always right. But I'm not going to lie to you. It's not always easy. And it's not always pleasant. And it's not always what people want to do. But I'm telling you, there's times in my life that I've had my breath knocked out. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that has given me my breath back and given me revival in my soul. Are you thankful tonight that He is the God that can revive again? Just recently at a 4th of July celebration, I was preaching at an open-air pavilion. Brother Chris, it was a big shelter, open walls, and it was right there near July 4th. It was in Rogersville, Tennessee, at the Hennard's Chapel Baptist Church. They were putting on a big firework display. They had a really big cookout, hot dogs and hamburgers. Hundreds of people came, and I was to preach that night under the pavilion. And out there beyond the pavilion, the youth director had rented some inflatables. And I'm talking about these inflatables were bigger than this auditorium. They were huge. The kids were having fun. There was nothing wrong with any of them. They were just having clean fun in those inflatables. But I'm sitting up there on that platform thinking, I ain't never going to get them kids under here to hear preaching with them inflatables out there. And the youth director saw me staring at those inflatables. And he came up on the platform and said, "Hey, preacher, don't worry about the inflatables. I got that covered." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You'll see." He pulled a plug on them things. And I'm telling you, they went flat as pancakes. And all the kids, they were ready to hear some preaching. Well, I preached that night. A couple of teenagers got saved. It was a great night. And when all the preaching and all the invitation was over, we still had some daylight time waiting for the fireworks to happen. And guess what the youth director did? I heard a little motor crank up, and them inflatables went right back up like they were. I don't know about you, but I felt like them inflatables a few times, and my air's been knocked out. But thank God there's a little motor called the Holy Ghost. And thank God He blows us back up, and thank God we can go on again. I'm looking at some of you. You've got bad news. You've got all kind of things going on in your mind. And you may feel like you just can't get your strength back. But the God that revived these boys again is the God that can revive you again. And I'm so thankful I serve the God of again. The God of another opportunity. The God of a second chance. Aren't you thankful? That's who we serve. But I got to move on. I'll be all night there. But James chapter 5 is another Bible story where there's never been nothing like this before or after. James, half-brother of Jesus, not to be confused with the Apostle James or James the Less, the other James of the Apostles. This was James, half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. James didn't believe in his own half-brother until after his resurrection. I often think about James and Jude and how would it have been to grow up in a home and Jesus be your older half-brother. That would have been something. Say amen. That's how these boys grew up. But they didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't believe He was who He said He was until after the resurrection. James saw them nail his half-brother to a cross. He saw them take down his body. He saw them put that dead body in a borrowed tomb and roll a stone in front of the door. But on resurrection morning, James became a believer because his brother, by his own power, by his own volition, got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. When you read the book of James, keep that in mind. James became historically a great, great champion of prayer. And James in this text is talking to us about prayer. And he's using an Old Testament story back in 1 Kings 17 and 18. And I want to read this James text again, James 5, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says Elias, he's referring to Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now let me say this about Elijah. When I was a kid student of the Bible, somehow in my mind, Brother Tim, I thought that men like Elijah, men like Moses, men like Daniel, men like Paul, men like John the Baptist, they were some kind of supermen. But it was a glad day for me when God showed me they're not supermen. They're men just like you. They're men just like me. And that's what James is telling us. Elijah, although he prayed down fire, although he shut the heavens with prayer, that there be no rain. He was not a superman. He was a man just like you. A man, according to the Bible, subject to like passions as we are. And in verse 17, he says, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So let me stop there. If you'll read 1 Kings 17 and 18, as far as I can study the Bible from cover to cover, I have never found a place in history where it was such a serious time as this. You say, how serious is it? There's been no rain, no dew on earth for 3.5 years. It's gotten so dry that almost all vegetation is gone. Do you remember the Bible says King Ahab, the wicked King Ahab, came off his throne? He went out looking for grass so all the livestock wouldn't die. It was so bad that vegetation was almost gone. It was so bad that livestock are starting to die because of the famine and because of the drought. Do you remember when Elijah went to the widow woman and she was preparing a meal? She had a little bit of oil and a little bit of food, and she was preparing a cake for her son and herself, and they were going to eat it and die. That was the last meal. That's how bad it's got. But Elijah went, you know the story. He said, give it to me first. And she took that meal and she took that oil and gave to the prophet first, and God supplied her need. But in the New Testament, Jesus said there were many other widows. There was a lot of other widows. They did eat their Last Supper. And I'm telling you, the poor, the widows, the fatherless, livestock, vegetation on earth is almost gone. Friend, this is serious. And if God don't send some rain soon, every living thing on this planet will be dead. There will be no livestock. There will be no animal kingdom. There will be no human kingdom. There will be no vegetation. Everything is fixing to non-exist on this earth. But let's look at verse 18. The Bible said, James 5:18, and he prayed again. And the Bible says, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. You see, he's not only the God that can revive us again, but he's the God that can hear our prayer again. You know, the devil will discourage you in your prayer life. He will try his best to get you to give up. You might be facing a serious time. I hope Brother Chris don't mind me mentioning this. Just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was headed to a meeting in another state. And he called. He said, Brother Don, I need some help. I said, what's up? He said, I can't tell you what's up. He said, but Brother Don, this is really heavy. And I really need you to help me and agree with me in prayer. So I pulled over and I got my journal out. And I wrote in my journal, Lord, this is big stuff. I can tell the way Chris is talking. And I said, Lord, I'm going to agree right here now. I'm going to put a date on it. I made a petition. I put a date on it. The date I began to pray. I thought we might hang in here for a while, the way Brother Chris sounded. Well, a few hours later, Brother Chris calls me back. And he said, Brother Don, you can quit praying now. God's already did it. He said, it's a miracle. I can't even tell you what it was, but it is beyond a miracle. Well, we didn't have to dig in for a long time on that one. Sometimes God answers like that. I've had God answer me, and I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you, and you have too. I've had God answer me before it even gets out my mouth good. Amen. Aren't you glad He can do that? But on the flip side of that coin, sometimes He bears long with us. And here's 3.5 years, there's been no rain. And a man of God prayed that it would not rain, and buddy, it didn't rain. And then 3.5 years later, before all life is gone on this earth, he prayed again. The heavens filled with clouds, Brother Chris. The rain came. The earth was spared. And we wouldn't be here on this Wednesday night had God not answered that prayer. I'm here to tell you that God is a God that answers our prayers again. I used to hear Brother Sammy Allen quote Matthew 7:7-11. Here's what it says. Jesus speaking. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And I love this verse. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread? Hey, have you got a child? Have you got a son? Have you got a daughter? If they're hungry, if they ask you for bread, would you give them a stone? Or if they ask for fish, would you give them a serpent? God said, if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask Him? And I said that about Brother Allen because he taught me this. He's in heaven now. And he said that word ask in Matthew 7. Here's what it means, Brother Chris. It means to ask and keep on asking. That word seek means to seek and keep on seeking. That word knock, it means to knock and keep on knocking. The devil's telling you, just give up. There's no point. The more you pray, the worse it gets. The more you pray, the situation is worsening. But I want to encourage you, child of God, let's go back and pray again. Let's go back and pray again. I'm 62 years old. Imagine me and Juanita in our early 20s. We have decided to follow Jesus. We're going all the way for God. He's number one. He was then, and He still is now. But most people don't know that Juanita has a younger sister, 2 years younger than her. And while we have dedicated our lives to serve God, she's going, her sister's going, the opposite direction. Sin's got a hold on her. She's 2 years younger than Juanita. And Juanita and I made up our minds as we were in our early 20s. Now, hey, I'm 62. We were in our early 20s that we're going to pray for Jeanette and we're not going to give up. Sin's going to kill her. Sin's going to destroy her. Sin's going to ruin her. She's just a young adult woman. We began to pray. And I'm telling you, the more we prayed, the worse she got. The more we prayed, the further down she went. But 20 years later, Juanita and I are in our early 40s. And I'm pastoring a church. And guess who walked through the double doors on a Sunday morning? It was Jeanette. We'd been praying for her for 20 years. She came, sat down with Juanita. The service went on. The invitation was given. I saw her speaking to Juanita on the pew, Chris, and she said, Juanita, I need to be saved. Now, you've got to know how Juanita is. She looked at her and says, are you sick and tired of your sin? Amen. She said, that's why I'm here. I'm sick and tired of my sin. I'm sick and tired of this life. And that's why I came here today. Well, Jeanette got saved in her early 40s. I believe she was exactly 40 years old. Now, we're still 20 years in the past when she got saved. Well, 20 years later, Jeanette, right, whatever happened to her, she's a faithful church lady. She's a faithful Sunday school teacher. She's a faithful giver. She's a faithful saint of God. She's built a great testimony for the glory of God. And every time I see Jeanette, when I get to be in service with her, I'm reminded, I'm so glad that we prayed again. I'm so glad that we didn't give up. I'm so glad that God answered a prayer. It took 20 years, but thank God, friend, I don't care how long it takes. If you know it's God's will and if you know it's the right thing, pray again, pray again, pray again, and God can do it for you. He did it for her. I was thinking on the pew, hadn't thought about this in a long time. One of the last funerals I had as a pastor was an old man. I won't call his name. But he had been a drunk all the time I'd ever known him. All the time I'd ever known him, he'd been a drunk. His wife was a faithful, faithful woman in church, godly, holy woman. But he was just a drunk. He'd come to church every once in a while, but he never showed any conviction. But I joined in with prayer with his wife, and we prayed for years. We prayed for years. He just kept drinking. I'll tell you how bad a drunk he was. I was visiting him in the hospital one day, and he was in there for some health issues related to his drinking. And the doctor came in. He didn't have much pity on him. And he called his name. The doctor called his name and said, "If I told you that I had a ice-cold can of beer, and if you drink it, you'll die immediately. Would you drink it?" That's what the doctor said. "If I had an ice-cold beer, and you knew you would die as soon as you drank it, would you drink it?" Boy, he started shaking. He said, "Doc, if it's in your pocket, give it to me. I want it." That's how bad a man willing to die to have that drink. But one day, the light broke through and the prayers were answered. And I was with him when he died. And I said, "I want to ask you one more time, is everything good with you and the Lord?" And he smiled real big and he said, "I got the peace of God down in my heart and I am ready to die." Well, friends, that's what praying again can do. Don't you think about giving up on your loved one. Got a lost husband? Got a lost wife? Got a wayward child? Got a wayward grandchild? Don't you think about quitting. They're still breathing, aren't they? They're still on the top side of this earth. God is still being merciful. If He wasn't being merciful, they'd already be dead. Thank God they're still breathing. Thank God there's still hope. Could I encourage you, child of God, let's just go pray again. Aren't you glad He's the God of again? But I'll give you this last one real quickly. And I want to share this one with you. Everybody knows it well. John 3 houses one of the most known verses in the Bible. Verse number 16, John 3. And I'll let you get back there while I quote John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why is this church decorated with missionary letters all the way across the backside on both sides and putting that kind of money in 45 missionaries? I'll tell you why, John 3:16. Because this is a whosoever gospel. But you know, had it not been for John, the beloved John, the Apostle John. I thought about this the other day, Brother Tim. If it hadn't been for John, we wouldn't have John 3:16. And if it hadn't been for John writing about Nicodemus, we wouldn't have none of this. John is the only writer that mentions Nicodemus. Nicodemus, if you were to get your Bible and say, "I'm going to find all the religious people in the Bible," well, he'd be top of your list because this man was highly religious. He came to visit Jesus by night, knocked on the door of the Lord, and Jesus cut straight to the chase to Nicodemus and said, "Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What a lesson for humanity. The man who was clothed in religion from head to toe. He had all his I's dotted, all his T's crossed. His name means conqueror. His name means overcomer. Nicodemus was everything that society says that a successful man would be. He was highly religious. He was highly educated. And he was very rich. Is that not what the world says is success? But Jesus looked beyond his religion, looked beyond his wealth, looked beyond his education, and said, "Nicodemus, if you don't get born again, if you don't get born again, your religion, your riches, and your education is not going to get you into heaven. You've got to be born again." Well, I believe there's plenty of evidence that Nicodemus got born again. As a matter of fact, he was one of the two that helped take Jesus down from the cross, helped put him in that barred tomb along with Joseph of Arimathea. And friend, I know it's Wednesday night, and the way we sang tonight, I know this is the cream of the crop. But you never know who could be sitting in a Wednesday night service and never been born again. We've all been born once. I was born October 16th, 1962, of my mother. We've all been born of our mother. But have we all been born again? It means afresh. It means anew. It means a future ahead. You know, when I pastored the same church Brother Tim's preached for me on occasions in our camp meeting years ago. And I remember as a pastor, here's something I did. When our mothers, Miss Hallie, when they would have a baby, I'd go visit mom and then I'd go over to the nursery. How many times have I stood at the nursery and looked through that glass trying to find the name of the person I'm visiting on one of those little baby beds? And then I'd find it and I'd say, well, they all look the same to me, you know. But anyhow, I'd find it. But all them visits to the baby floor, all them years, I never ran into a police officer standing looking through the nursery window with tiny baby handcuffs to come and arrest one of those babies. You say, preacher, that's silly. Well, think about it. They have no past. They've committed no crimes. They've done no evil. All they have to look forward to is a future. And friend, if you're not saved, you can get born again. Your past will be erased. Your past will be washed in the blood of Jesus. And then all you have is a wonderful future. And friend, tonight, my heart's desire and prayer to God for you, if you don't know the Lord, is that tonight would be your night that you get born again. I want you to think about something. How many times have we blinked since we've been in this service? Think about it. Just blinking. It's a God-given ability that we do unconsciously. Blinking keeps your eyes clean, keeps your eyes clear. We've blinked and blinked and blinked tonight and we didn't even know it. But one of these days, we're going to blink for the last time. And when we open our eyes, it's not going to be blue carpet and blue padded pews. It's going to be either heaven or it's going to be hell. And friends, we need tonight to be sure if we close our eyes and open them in eternity. You see, there's no in-between ground. There's no purgatory. There's no limbo. There's no place that you'll kind of exist until somebody prays enough and somebody pays enough. That's no such place. It's heaven or it's hell. And that's why Jesus said, you must be born again. When I was born the first time, I became a bona fide citizen of this world. But when I was born again, I became a citizen of heaven, a new creature in Christ. All my sins are gone. How many of you thankful this evening that He is the God of again? Now, I'm going to rehearse my sermon. Won't take but a second. But I want us all to stand and don't bow your head. Just keep looking at me. And number one tonight, do you remember point one? Revive again. Some of you here tonight, You may have put a smile on your face, grabbed your Bible, and came on to church, but to be honest, you're just like that inflatable. Pow! You've been deflated. You love God. You hadn't did anything, but right and doing right has cost you. And I wonder, do you need to be revived again? How many of you here would be honest enough to lift up your hand and say, preacher, I need reviving again. Hands are going up. Why not slide in around this altar tonight while I move on to point two? Let's get on this altar and let's ask the Lord Lord, you did it for the sons of Korah. You did it for the saints through the ages. Would you do it for me? I need to be revived again. Would you come? Some are moving. Point number two. James said that Elijah, in a very serious, serious time, prayed again. How many of you tonight, and I'm not picking on you, because everything I'm preaching, I've had it happen to me. And it's going to happen to the best of us. But how many of you have been praying about a matter for a while? Days have become weeks. Weeks have become months. Months have become years. And you're really getting disheartened with it. But you've been reminded tonight, you need to just pray again. Could I see your hand? Come on. It happens to all of us. Don't be ashamed. You can put your hand down. Why don't you that just lifted your hand join these that's around the altar tonight? Maybe you just need to pray again. You've almost give up. You've almost give up on that husband, that wife, that child, that grandchild, that situation, that sickness, that illness. You've almost give up. Don't give up. Let's pray again. And then lastly, before I turn it back to Pastor, he knows how to give the invitation better than me. He knows the needs better than me. But I got to ask tonight, is there somebody here? Let's just bow our heads and let's let this be private. Is there somebody here who would say, Brother Anderson, I'm one of those that's never been born again. Pray for me, preacher. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. Could I see your hand tonight? Anybody like that? Father, you see all these on the altar. Lord, there are sincere saints on this altar that are determined to be revived again. They're determined, Lord, in their heart that they're going to pray again. And Father, should there be some here lost, I pray before this service is over, before we leave these grounds, that tonight will be their night, that they'll get born again. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the God of again. And I pray you bless this church in Jesus' name. Pastor's coming. Just pray long as you need to. Nobody will rush you.
Appreciate the sermon tonight. If you need to be born again, it's a good day.